Hello and welcome all. Bright, beautiful day to you, all of you that are tuning in from CosmicDimensions.com as well as the archives later on. And a hello to all of you that I see already in the chat room, the Sacred Space of Empowerment. Great to see all of you and feel all of your presences and presences that are presence. You have surfed into Awakenings, and I'm your host and co-pilot, Michelle Mache. Those of you that are tuning in for the first time, perhaps, or maybe just a gentle reminder, why are we here? Well, we're here to celebrate our awakening state, or that we are awakening, and we're getting that support, that insight and sustenance for our awakening. Awakenings Radio, we highlight conscious living for conscious lives. It's about waking up, becoming more awake, more aware, more conscious, and sharing this state through our creative endeavors, our work purpose, aligning to our soul, and living a more fulfilled life and sharing that with others. Awakenings is also a place for connecting into your dream and support to follow your dream, to make your dream made manifest. Because what we dream is really coming from the soul. It's all coming from the template of the soul. And in a sense, the ego personality awakens to the true potential. And here also in Awakenings, we host dialogues and interviews with spiritual teachers, healers, conscious experts, visionaries, awakened leaders, authors, conscious beings, and people of all walks of life that are focused on living consciously. And we reflect the bridging point between science and spirituality. So there's something for everyone here. And Awakenings is part of the converging flow where we're coming from all walks of life to connect in and share this awakened state. So because of that, we have a wide variety, a varied guest list, if you will, and even awakened panels. So if you'd like to listen by phone, the number is 347-539-5122. And if you would like to ask questions, many of you already know who our guest is, and we'll be getting into that. But if you do have questions or comments, you can go ahead and call in as well at 347-539-5122. We love your comments, your questions, and your feedback. Makes life more interesting and the show. So also, for the newsletter, it's awakeningsradio@gmail.com. And I had a little email client exchange server issue challenge. So I lost a bulk. They're redeemable or retrievable somewhere. But those of you that signed up for the newsletter, if you would be so kind as to email back at awakeningsradio@gmail.com. We're in another flow of getting things more organized. So bear with us. And also, if you want to connect via Facebook, it's Awakenings Radio. That's the page. And Twitter, Awakenings Tweet, and my website, selfandlight.com. So I think we get all that out of the way and going. I wanted to just read something really quickly. You know, I don't know if all of you do this at all, but just opening to a page of something, the divination of bibliomancy, of just opening to a page in a book and meditating on that or contemplating. And this morning I was reading in the Tao Te Ching by Lao Tzu, and it's a new translation by Jia Fu Fing and Jane English. And anyway, it's a wonderful picture book, but I turned to the page that says, "Knowing others is wisdom. Knowing the self is enlightenment. Mastering others requires force. Mastering self needs strength. He who knows he has enough is rich. Perseverance is a sign of willpower. Stays where he is, endures. to die but not to perish, is to be eternally present. And I thought with the recent changes and the acceleration of energy, love, light, wisdom, the implosion of energy that we're all receiving, which can be mapped astrologically, that really spoke to me that we're moving into a space of inner riches, inner and outer wealth, not just the material, and perhaps the richness of connecting with like-minded individuals is more celebrated. And so when you know you have enough, when you're getting what you need, and you're living from the overflow, a lot of people think the overflow is all this material. It's the overflow of abundance, of connecting and knowing your inner riches, your resources, feeling that fulfillment. You are living rich. And that we persevere, we move through that which we are going through. And when we are comfortable where we are, when we make peace where we are, we may not always accept it, but we learn to go deeper into our path, into our process, into our understanding. We begin to be very committed to our path. And so you endure. And, of course, we're continually dying. We're continually transforming. That's what the transits are astrologically, the transformation. And in that transformation, we realize that we are eternally present. We're right here, right now, and we are in the future, right here, right now. We have a lot of change upon us right now, which is wonderful, and getting more and more used to the unknown. And in the shift and altering of energies, it's perhaps in some way getting used to that. And astrology is a way to map that and understand the shifts that are occurring, the awakenings, the multiple awakenings that are happening of more and more love, light, awareness, connectedness, the more expansion, more taking in, absorbing our vibrational frequency so we become more all the way to that energetic matrix so that expansion of consciousness can happen. And we need tools, ways to map this, ways to know what's going on and how to navigate through this. I can think of a handful of people that are wonderful at mapping this and understanding the collective and individual change, understanding and helping others understand what people are going through individually and how that is dovetailing or being affected by what's happening collectively. And our guest today, which many of you know, Awakenings, I think, is going to be his second home, I hope, anyway. We have today with us Robert Wilkinson, who is a futurist, works in the transpersonal realm. He's a metaphysician as well as an author and astrologer, which he uses astrology to help map the individual and collective changes. And today we're going to be discussing the universal and personal shift that is occurring right now from an astrological point of view. So I want to welcome Robert Wilkinson to Awakenings. Hello, Robert.
Hello.
Hey, great to connect.
Yes, this is excellent. It's been a while since I've been on, but there are so many important things that are occurring right now. I think it's very, very important that everyone rise to their better possibilities because of the sheer importance of navigating through some very difficult and extreme circumstances. We are part of an ongoing evolutionary change in terms of the universe. We are participating in this. There are some things that are beyond our control, but there are circumstances in which we can bring forth exactly the type of behavior, exactly the type of thinking, exactly the type of cooperation that can move everyone forward in this larger evolutionary challenge. Frankly, I think that a lot of the very extreme circumstances right now are in a strange paradox through the polarizations it is truly showing us, our community, and just how non-separate everyone is from the process. I told you we would get into some other stuff today.
Oh, definitely. That, listen, the title, everyone knows, that's just a perhaps a jumping into or off of point. So, yes, there are these, Robert, getting used to this energy more and more. I kind of call it the ping-ponging with this Aquarian age of this Uranian energy yet Saturnian energy. We seem to be somewhere in the middle and both, you know, all of it, actually.
Well, you're describing, of course, the Saturn opposition Uranus, which, as I wrote earlier on my site, it's both a dance of giants, this eternal struggle between what each of these represents, along with the centrifuge effect of this opposition that is spinning people and circumstances around and purifying all of us. And this is working on internal levels, external levels. We are being flung away from certain ideas, certain patterns, certain behaviors, certain people. We're being flung toward other opportunities. The problem, of course, is when you're in a state of dynamic change, it's natural to want stability and homeostasis because we are creatures of comfort. We don't like being flung around, especially into unknown things and away from familiar things. And, you know, Saturn opposed Uranus is not the only thing going on right now. I mean, we have the great important point of Saturn transiting out of Virgo and into Libra. And that is a very critical shift in terms of the ongoing filter or pulse of Saturn lessons for all of us. And that now that we have done our discipline, our work, our adjustments in Virgo, we've done our preparation, our education in divine discrimination, in figuring out what are our personal higher standards that we want to live. We've all been sifting through this stuff for quite a while. Now our education is almost over in that way. We get to finish it up next summer when Saturn slips back into Virgo. But now we face a whole new world of this Saturn in Libra, which will restructure everything we're living about Libra in our lives. We're going to begin to structure a new archetype, a new vision, a new image, however that fits for us, whatever that Saturn in Libra, however we're doing that energy is how it's going to come forth. It might mean some are going to search for more just conditions, more fair conditions. I guess the best part of Saturn being in this sector of the zodiac is that Saturn in Virgo is fundamentally good because they're the ongoing discipline and structure and lessons deal with practical things. And as I said, divine discrimination, where we get to really learn what's an illusion and what's real, at least for us. And in Libra, Saturn finds what in traditional astrology is called its exaltation, which is the sign of its greatest growth. Saturn is about to move into an era where the nature of Saturn itself will evolve. The nature of our ability to respond, our ability to, shall we say, take command of our physical and emotional and mental and spiritual vehicle and move through very unstable, very irrational conditions with equilibrium and with awareness and with hopefully a certain amount of happiness. There's a lot going on.
So there's a lot going on. I know. So in a way, would you say, okay, we have with the Saturn in Virgo, we got a lot of focus on discriminating or clearing,
training.
You know, looking at
we were training, grounded, getting practical.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and
now
also
we
looking
get to
at
move.
Perhaps what's now we get to move what?
Well, we get to move it out of the merely practical into an initiative of a better idea. Because that's
what
Libra...
We're creating a structure, right?
Right,
structure
right.
Structure and form.
The structure of structure itself is going to evolve. So the field conditions in which you and me and all the listeners and everybody on Earth, there's a field condition we're moving through on any given dynamic moment, because the planets are always moving. This is a huge pulse in that dynamic moment, because we're moving out of the training. As it is said, Leo is where we get flooded with heart energy. It's where we get flooded with that fixed, fiery strength of the consistent, loving self. That's just now today being kicked into long-term gear by Mars' entry into Leo. Leo is where we get flooded with energy. Virgo is where we refine that energy, preparing to take something either more ideal, elegant, archetypal, publicly. And that's what Libra represents, is it's the ideal view. It's like an iconic view. It's a where archetypal images become very, very important in terms of understanding who we are, what our environment is, what our personal story is, our mythology, as well as the larger pattern we have to live within. See, it's not just our own stuff that's going on. The stuff that's going on within us is specifically geared to bring us fully into the moment as conscious, aware, functioning beings. It doesn't mean we're always going to feel good. It doesn't mean we're going to know that we're doing it right. It doesn't mean we're not human. But we are right on the threshold of a whole new evolution of some pretty strong and dynamic imagery. And the fact is, I have written about this recently, with Pluto at 1 degree of Capricorn, that's a critical degree. And we just recently had a critical degree T-square involving Mars in Cancer and Mercury in Libra. Once Saturn goes into Libra, it will begin to square Pluto. This is the culmination of an entire era that began back in the early 80s when Saturn conjuncted Pluto. The waning square or upper square shows the culmination of a natural process. It is fulfillment. It's pretty frictional. It shows almost like intractable energies at odds with each other. And if we throw in the fact that Uranus is also at the very end of Pisces and about to move into Aries, along with Jupiter next summer, we have one of the most dynamic, large-scale T-squares that could ever be imagined. And these are going to persist for a while. So all the spiritual practices we've been doing, all the training we've been doing, all the imaging we've been doing, all of the aspiring that we've been doing, every single thing where we've gotten in shape the last 2.5 years as a result of feeling something the 2.5 years before that, whatever it is that we've gotten in shape to do, the next 2.5 years is going to be when we have to do it the best we're able.
The next two, yeah. So it seems that everybody is being called forth personally to fit into the larger collective changes within their life, to restructure their life to this next level or this higher vision of themselves.
Everything is in constant change, and sometimes it's a little stranger than other times, and this is truly one of the stranger times in history as far as everything that's going on right now. And as I've talked about this on the show before, I put it in my Mercury retrograde book originally, that astrology doesn't make anything happen. It merely shows the flux and flow of the energies, but we are the ones who are either acting, reacting, or being acted upon. We are the ones that direct, to the degree that we are able, the energies of our chart and the transits. The transits may show the circumstances, but we get to play those circumstances. And we have some ability to alter the course of those circumstances before and during the process. And this involves viewing what is possible and then choosing how to act on it. Those tendencies.
Now, Robert, that is so key. Hold on, because so many people.
Okay.
What you're saying, choosing what is possible and acting on it. Those of you that are working with me, listen, that are in the chat and other places, listen to what he's saying. Because that's key. What you're saying is, in a way, people. This is kind of a wake-up, a further wake-up call to look and see what is actually possible. And then also the next step is you've got to act on it. If I'm hearing
in
you correctly.
It is in some ways a arousal to right action.
The
interesting thing about this opposition, it started a while back, but it's been very intense this year. It's going to be very intense next year. This Saturn opposition Uranus is like centrifuge, where think of our being as a vial inside that centrifuge, and the centrifuge is separating out the dense impurities from the subtle impurities from the pure liquid of clear consciousness. And that may sound very abstract and metaphysical, but it's working on every person's individual level. Different people have different impurities of action and feeling and thought, and some of them, it's just perfect to let go of them because we've outgrown them or we've seen through them or whatever, and this is the natural time to be able to see the dense impurities of life in a way that you can say, okay, they are condensed, and I'm now going to pour off the clear light of consciousness into a new time vehicle, a new time vessel, a new personality, a new way of viewing ourselves from here now forward, because the training is pretty much done. We've been looking for something that we could venerate, some kind of something we could stand for. Everybody has been restructured in key ways and learned key things. We've all
been.
You see,
the restructuring, it's happened already, so now it's acting upon it? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, this is it. This is like the moment to take the initiative.
Yeah.
And
okay.
See, each planet sort of has its own influence on the pulses of both our external reality and, to some degree, that means how we respond to those promptings from our external reality. And Mars is key in understanding this. See, the personal planets are Moon and Sun and Mercury and Venus and even Mars. These are our personal self, our inner self, our likes and our dislikes and our feelings and our ideas and how we coordinate things and this kind of thing.
Right.
Beginning with Mars, we move more into the social realm because Mars shows our desires and it's how we move things forward in our lives into the vision of Jupiter as that can be structured by Saturn. If without Jupiter, our lives would be all work. Without Saturn, our lives would be going in 32 different directions all at once with no boundaries. So Saturn kind of gives us the discipline to carry out our Jupiterian visions according to our position relative to Mars, how we deal with Mars, how we extend our energies into the world, how we go about, you can call it attacking the problems of life, you can say going about what you really desire. Mars right now is slowing down in Leo. So here, I tell you what, let me just paint a quick big picture. Pluto has been on the galactic center. It is now in Capricorn, showing many, many years of radical and total restructuring and purification to the innermost level of all the structures of society. Neptune has been hanging out in Aquarius, giving a certain Aquarian feel and energy to the collective field. The blessing has been, it's been conjunct Chiron, showing that through Neptune's energy, we are all healing into our higher self, whatever that might look like. Some people's higher self may stink, but it's still their higher self. Some people's higher self would result in sainthood. And the Chiron does heal us into our higher self. We've had the blessing of Jupiter being there this year. Jupiter has now just gone direct. We are now finishing up that Aquarian Jupiter, Chiron, Neptune, huge healing, teaching, expanding energies that have just pervaded the entire field for 2009. We have Uranus at the end of Pisces making everything very strange. It's very strange because we all somehow know the individualizer, the divine individualizer, is now at the end of the end of the end of the zodiacal process. So closure is in the air as a means to individualize, as a way of rising to our uniqueness or putting forth some kind of gift. It's also why those who are learning closure rituals can do a very good service as individuals within the spiritual field. Saturn is now changing signs. As I said, Jupiter's been hanging out in Aquarius, and Mars has been zipping along until now. It just recently triggered a whole bunch of the grand irrationality. It won't for a while, but what it's going to do is move forward to hits 20 degrees of Leo in right around the 20th of December. It's then going to retrograde or slow down and retrace all of its steps all the way back to 1 degree Leo, where it is right now. It's going to go all the way back to 1 degree Leo, go direct in motion in early March, and then proceed forward through this span again all the way to mid-May.
Now, when that you say great individualizer, is that where we're moving more into the collective, that we've gone as far as we can as extending out as predominantly as individuals?
Well, we are light particles in the sense that all things that are composed of light particles, just in various frequencies. So we are always eternal consciousness as a spark of true individuation, collectivity, and divine transformation. That could be said to be one way to describe our threefold nature. We are always those things throughout space and time, regardless of what earth or world we wind up on in whatever incarnation. We are eternal wanderers. We are light beings. There's no one else in the universe exactly like us, and yet we are completely weaved into the collective light field as the merest speck in the ocean of light. So we are a unique divine particle of the collective, call it God, call it whatever force. And so we must individuate. There is no way not to individuate because the nature of the eternal self is freedom. So we are free in this world to learn anything we want to learn, to grow any way we want to grow, to learn to master the emotions and turn the suffering to good, to learn to take error and find truth. We can use the powers of our personality in this world to really come and practice our divine self. We should be doing that anyway, to the best we're able. I mean, it's not like you and I are judging, you know, except nobody but ourselves.
Right, and that's true.
Everybody's harder on themselves than I believe any kind of divine entity would be on them. Mm. And I think that especially because sometimes we, in very difficult times, we fall short, we judge ourselves harshly, we forget that maybe we did the perfect thing, we awaken the perfect part of our imagination and striving, and that we have finished that karma and we never have to go there again. Now we get to go generate positive stuff. I think that this coming period is really going to test people's willingness to get and stay focused on what is really needed to either be cared for or protected or nurtured or coaxed along in this great transitional era. We got a lot that's breaking down, and there's no solution. You know, the system's like this giant machine, and the parts are falling off faster than anybody can slap them back on. And it's not enough just to be worried or apprehensive at the larger breakdown. It's really how can we do the best being we can, given the circumstances, and be very, very clear, and you nailed it, about what's possible in the moment. Because we can't just fly 1,000 miles on our own steam. We might have to actually hop from here to here to here to here. Something that we could do, you know, where we do have to take baby steps, because it's funny you would quote the Tao Te Ching, because in that philosophy, it is said that if you are diligent in small things, you will most assuredly be diligent in large things. That if you mind the small things, then you're probably going to mind the large things. And that creates success. Yeah, it's,
that's
look,
it. That, those,
yeah.
Those steps that... And did we get that too a bit in this Saturn energy, the predominance, you know, of going above the horizon, is calling people more so to do that. It's, you know, it almost seems like the inner structuring is ending and we're taking this structuring into how we live our lives and how we relate, you know, where we put our focus.
Well, yeah, because the impurities are being crammed down at the bottom of the vial, and you know, we're going to pour off the purified liquid because that's who we are.
Yeah.
You know, there's no point in holding on to sludge. And it's not even that the sludge itself is bad, but it's just cannot move. It can't help us be what we have to be during the period of the new image, the new archetype, the new work, something, call it fair and just and more ideal, that if there have been any imbalances build up, you know, in the archetypal zodiac, whatever it is that begins in Aries and gets substance in Taurus and expands in Gemini and so forth, you know, whatever it is that has become imbalanced up to the Virgo point in the cycle, then gets balanced in Libra. Everything gets weighed and judged so that then in Scorpio, the elimination is complete, creating the space to bring in whatever is needed to expand into Sag, to take it into some form, some structure publicly in Capricorn. So here it is, Pluto's blowing apart all the structures. Long term, we're seeing that the emperor has no clothes. All the government structures, the banking structures, it's all a joke. And we see that. And there are efforts all over the world for different, you know, alternative economic forms and lending forms and really food distribution forms. And I'm very encouraged by what I've seen develop in the last 15 to 25 years. You know, in the way of a more enlightened, localized, interdependent social model.
Right.
You know, yes, we're still dominated by the banks and the oil companies and the arms merchants, etc. But I am seeing that there is this web of life that is growing almost under the radar screen, beyond any, it's because it's not a hierarchical model. It is
that
interdependent model.
Yeah, it's under the radar, and it's also parallel. It's like we're creating a parallel universe. Some of us are already living in that, but that eventually people will just step over to.
Yeah, you know? And in a way, evolution, while there are certain punctuation points, mostly evolution is a long, slow, steady growth of alternatives replacing that which is either stagnant, obsolete, or over-controlled. I mean, if somebody already owns everything, then why do it that way? Let's go do something else. And so, you know, people have always had that sense of once they get tired of being limited by the system, they'll go out there and do something else. You know, they'll make something happen. You know, they'll put together some jars and some water and some piping and create an HHO engine alternative that, you know, can sometimes double gas mileage just because they're tired of being limited by in-the-box thinking. And yet, if everything stopped happening today, the world would be a mess. Right now, we still need oil only because everything is geared to run on oil. And it's great that we keep developing more and more and more and more alternatives, because eventually these will all synthesize into a perfectly viable alternative, and there won't be this wrenching crash of a lack of supply and a lack of infrastructure and a lack of maintenance facilities. That's always been the way it's been, and it doesn't matter what industrial product you're talking about. Forms evolve to improve on that product and change that product. And we also understand, though, more of us than ever before, the unsustainability of an oil-based world, you know, of a pollution-based mm-hmm. world, where they think that, okay, they can scrub smokestacks so that the particulates don't go in the atmosphere, but then they discharge it into the water. We're starting to understand that there's this whole thing that we can only slow down even as we build toward that which makes us feel good, that which sustains us, that which gives us community, that which helps us know we're walking our walk and doing our dharma in this world. It's this definitely, we're moving out of any kind of a sense of life being a spectator sport into dynamic action. And that's what these oppositions and T-squares are going to bring forth in every single person.
Is the dynamic action.
You bet. See, I mean, I'm sort of digressing a little bit, but we're told by certain authentic spiritual sources that one of the major spiritual challenges for humanity right now is learning how to balance the pairs of opposites. Because once we learn how to balance the pairs of opposites, we find equipoise that allows us to move through the duality of Maya without losing our perspective. That's one of the big spiritual lessons, is to learn how to get a balanced view and how to understand that even when the view is not balanced, we can understand the balance and we still understand why a certain imbalance is necessary. It's like I was just with the Dalai Lama a few weeks ago, and he said sometimes you have to meet an apparent negative with another apparent negative in order to create a positive. You know, sometimes you have to be attached to strenuously following through on your spiritual practice, even though you're not supposed to be too attached to anything. Sometimes you're supposed to practice that type of strenuous attachment so that you can achieve something that helps generate positivity, goodwill, good works, you know, weaving the web of life that will be what comes through this mess, so that by 2020, 2025, 2030, we will have gone through major changes. Many of us will have come out on the other side. We will have been doing and being connected in so many ways that it will be a new society. It will be a new way of viewing things with different assumptions and different things, different modes of transportation, different modes of distributing things. We're in for a pretty major upheaval. I think it's going to be bad for some people and worse for others, and probably okay for at least enough to ensure that the new Aquarian age is well launched by around mid-century.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the blessing of this year. Jupiter and Chiron and Neptune and Aquarius. This is the beginning.
Yeah, the beginning. But it also helps, it helps temper what could happen as well, right? There's this, I like to call it the mitigating consciousness.
Well, Saturn's opposing Uranus. There's a gigantic polarization going on, and we're seeing it. We're seeing things in complete opposition to each other at loggerheads. And then you've got Pluto, this third force that is perpendicular to the two. And it keeps slamming the brakes. It just keeps slamming the brakes.
Yeah, it keeps. Now, we had a comment in the chat from Empress. The last time Pluto was in Capricorn was during the American Revolution.
Yeah, I did a whole article on that. Actually, it's interesting to see the Pluto signs of the generations, who were the elders and who were the statesmen and who were the young ones actually doing the fighting, and understand not just what generations were doing it, but where Pluto was when it was actually happening. And I did point out on the site some years ago that this is the new, quote, American Revolution, unquote. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that from a, you know, an ethno-social standpoint. The American Revolution was a great statement of awakening. It was awakening. It was an awakening that supposedly no person was above the law, that there were certain higher enlightenment ideals that we took as being natural to humanity that could not be taken away from us and should be challenged. And anyone who would do that should be challenged. And here it is. We're full circle, Michelle. Healthcare is an absolute right, and it shouldn't cost us anything. Shelter, food. These are in a world that has so much wealth and so much abundance, it is an abomination that people go to bed hungry. That's ridiculous because of greed. And it's the same thing. I've always wondered how it is we have all those great big empty buildings with all those lights on all throughout the night in all the cities of the world, and we got people sleeping on grates and in cardboard boxes. That's insane.
Well, they don't allow them to go inside, even if the building is not in use. That's the thing, you know. It's
right. There are dumpsters outside of restaurants that get locked when they throw perfectly good food in them. Then they lock them because they don't want any liability under the legal system in case somebody takes the food out and gets sick. Now, that's pretty twisted.
Yeah, but you know what? It is twisted, but you know what? I actually questioned a local store and bakery, because they told me they had to throw things away, and they actually were sued by a homeless person, so they had to change the law. They used to give all their bread, and I guess something was a little moldy and off, and the person sued.
Right,
so,
right, which is insane
happened.
That it, one person who failed to pay attention could jam such a wonderful project of feeding so many people.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that, you know, really when we talk about the greater ideals and balancing a greater ideal with radical new initiatives, which is coming up starting next year all over the map, Jupiter conjunct Uranus and Aries, it's a new emergence. It begins a new 12-year cycle, very powerful time of balancing between the Jupiter, Uranus, and Aries energies, of bringing whole new ways of being forth, opposed by Saturn and Libra, with both of them squared by Pluto. This is really a major challenge in terms of the collective. Now, the Saturn opposition Uranus, it depends. Sometimes we have to be a positive Saturn in the face of a negative Uranus. Sometimes we have to be a positive Uranus in the face of a negative Saturn. That's the actual challenge of the yin-yang, the seesaw, the opposition, the tugs of war, the butting of heads, whatever it is that's been going on in everyone's life that involves this or that, do I, don't I, yes, no. That type of oppositional energy. We have to be very thoughtful, you know, and patient, because that's a virtue of Saturn, but we also have to be able to see things from a higher view, and that's Uranus. So we're kind of looking at structures and revolution. You know, some structures must be revolutionized, or we have to structure in some kind of life revolution. It could show as a lower law versus a higher law. It could show as fear facing some freedom or tradition, you know, resistance, you know, confronting genius. It could be experience patiently blocking willful folly. It could be studied reserve facing impetuousness. It could be understanding countering lawlessness. This, you can see how this works on a lot of different levels, and the opposition between Virgo and Pisces is different than the one that we're facing from Libra and Aries. So we're getting the opposition. I've written a whole lot about the opposition. People just go to the site. Today's article, in fact, even though it's about Mars, does cover these T-squares and oppositions and a lot of what I've written about them.
Okay. And this is a good point, because we've been putting the your website URL in the chat, but just for people that are listening by phone or listening to the archives later, to connect in with more of this information and connect with Robert, as well as find out about his empowering astrology readings, you can go to AquariusPapers.com, and that's AquariusPapers.com. So some of you that are listening, you may want to go there. And then if someone could put the link, I put the URL in the website in the chat, but you can put a link there as well. One thing I wanted to ask, what for these oppositions, it seems more externally focused or really requiring people, like you're saying, to respond better, whether it's on an emotional level or respond to what's in their life right now, respond to the call, however you, from what I'm getting from you, it's about responding better or responding from that more expanded consciousness right now to what's in front of you.
This is a very dynamic time for everyone. It's particularly dynamic to people who have planets anywhere near the end of the mutable signs, Gemini and Virgo and Sagittarius and Pisces, and anybody who's got planets at the beginning of the cardinal signs, Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn. So just in terms of sun sign only, everybody born between about March 15th and March 25th are completely, they are directly impacted by all of this. The same thing for June 15th to June 25th, September 15th to September 25th, December 15th to December 25th. Now, these aren't exact. I'm just sort of, you know, guesstimating them. But this is the general zone where these oppositions and T-squares are occurring. And so anyone born in any of those particular areas are probably going to be going through some very dynamic changes. It's not necessarily bad. I believe some people will go through fantastic creative revolutions.
That's what I say. It sounds like you can bring more creativity.
Some people will come into their own. I'm counting on that to be a function of this Mars in Leo. I think that Mars, the planet of initiative in the sign of Leo, which is play and games and self-expression and having a good time, I have a feeling that Mars in Leo will rekindle the fires in many where they burned low. I just have a feeling.
Very cool.
Yeah, that was what today's article was about. That's the lead article. It's because I do talk about the Mars is going to be in Leo all the way to, until next June. That should be a great time for figuring out Leo in our chart, in ourselves. You know, wherever it falls, that's where we're going to be occupied with figuring out our Leo. And it's okay. We all have Leo somewhere. We all get to be a showboat. We all get to be the star. You know, we all get to shine and look good and, you know, play and be enthusiastic. And there are times when these are absolutely essential. And after all this work, the Saturn in Virgo, and the, sort of the grinding intensity of the last few years, it might be nice to just take this time in rest of October through November and December and then the first few months of 2010 to learn where your heart's at. You know, what do you want to put your heart into? And I know that things are in dynamic flux anyway with these oppositions occurring at the very end of Virgo Pisces and the very beginning of Aries Libra. So it's not just simply those people whose sons are there. I mean, there's a lot of people, like people born in the early 80s, you know, that's going to be one of their things, you know, because they had Saturn there, for example, in 1980. I mean, there's going to be people that all across the spectrum, born late 59, early 60, that's another bunch, that because they have a Sun-Saturn conjunction right there in early Capricorn, and Pluto's on it. So there's a lot of people. We're all being hit by this one way or another. But
and what would you say the purpose is then? Is it to follow your heart, find out what you truly want to do, what's just fulfilling for you? What would you say,
well,
Robert,
given that, in general? On its own level, it's just the inevitable polarizations and destabilizations of a system, of a global system that is so far out of balance and completely unsustainable that something's got to give, okay? Mm-hmm. Then, you know, for us, as you know, in the way I frame it is that we have 12 frequency zones that we're learning to master. We have the material, emotional, mental, and spiritual, personal levels of existence. We have the material and emotional and mental and spiritual interpersonal dimension of existence. And then we have the material, emotional, mental, spiritual, transpersonal dimension of existence. Mm-hmm. And we're learning how to function with as much loving, wise intelligence as we can across every one of these 12 zones of human experience. And every time we mess up, it's okay, we figured something out, we may or may not ever have to do that lesson again, we'll never repeat the exact form of it. So, you know, one of the things I've always tried to teach people is stop fighting yesterday's battles. You know, turn your attention to the now. You know, now is when you can do what you need to do to shift the direction, to say the words you need to say to do the thing you need to do. And now doesn't mean this second, but now means that after deliberation and planning and clarity and a little foresight and with an eye to consequences, then you execute whatever it is you need to execute, material, personal, maybe emotional, interpersonal. See what I mean? Mm-hmm. It works out on all the levels, and they all feed each other. The more that we succeed in any area of our existence, the more it helps strengthen the other areas. And often the individual finds himself conflicted and challenged. That's the perfect opportunity to think. Remember your practice. You know, this is why we read all these books and meditate as much as we do. And, you know, yeah, this is definitely the time to go do those things that we've been meditating on for the last 3 to 5 years or 10 years. You know, that it's kind of like, it's no big deal to do it right when everything is smooth. It's a much bigger deal to plug in the skills and truths and awareness you know when everything is unstable and in upheaval. And it doesn't mean you always get what you want or win or whatever else you want to judge it. But it is better than sitting around and suffering and worrying and fearing. At least when you practice whatever it is you know you need to practice. Sometimes it's patience, and sometimes I think it's direct action. You know, there's no, it's not like one size fits all. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that we haven't talked about that I need to remind people who have obviously, you know, anybody's gone to the site or heard the interviews before knows that I've termed this one phenomenon the grand irrationality. And that's with us for many years to come, as well as many years in the past, and it gets triggered quite a few times each month and 21 big times each year. And so we're living in the midst of extremely polarized, frictional, dynamic, irrational actions, irrational behaviors, irrational circumstances. That's why we can't afford to hold on too tight to things making perfect sense. We're not supposed to be thinking completely linear right now. At the same time, we need divine discrimination. You know, we need compassion. We definitely need a certain detached objectivity because there's just so much that appears and disappears so quickly. You know, this is almost like picking our way through a minefield in the middle of some kind of firefight. You know, but we can do this. We are weaving with our community. We are finding our allies. We're separating out from abusive people, indifferent people, unfriendly people, people that maybe they're okay now, but maybe they won't be down the road. And I think it's really on anyone who is a truth-seeking soul to remember, and I know I've talked to the audience about this before, that the soul thrives on veneration and respect and affection and connectedness and play. It
does
not
thrive.
People got
to let that other stuff away, right? They got to let that
It doesn't thrive on disrespect and attitude. And this is why, you know, we have to guard that core of our individual being and treasure it and make it strong. And that's also what this coming Mars in Leo is going to be great for. We're going to be able to really strengthen our core, our heart, our loyalties, our sense of what's the buy-in to life. You know what? Because wherever Leo is in the chart, that's the area of life that lets the light in. But it's also the area where we might find genuine love, you know, fixed fire, stable inspiration, stable love, stable connectedness, stable warmth. We need these things. We got sold such a fractured, fragmented world that the system itself has been able to exploit us being fractured and fragmented. It's got us all reduced to market segments, and everything is divided up and completely owned. And yet the one thing the system cannot own is our connectedness with each other. It tries to make money off of it. But the thing is, you know, I'm phoning in to you in 1,000 miles away, and you're through the internet connecting with people all over the world. Just like my site does, you know, and I'm seeing people literally from almost every country in the world checking into my site at one point or another. It's quite amazing. And that's the connection of our world. And we who do study and do practice and do meditate, it is on us to be generative sources of light and of connection, to assist all of us together to find our way through this mess, through the stuff that's frictional and collapsing, and just try to keep the beam steady to get us through this very irrational, weird, polarized, strange time. We are definitely seeing the emperor has no clothes. The system is not working. Not the health system, not the money system, not the food distribution system, not the medical distribution system, not even the type of medicine that's being practiced. It's all sort of top-heavy and crashing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why weaving the new is pretty much the only thing to do. You know, yeah, because you can't fight the system.
Mm-mm. Now, Robert, I want to bring something up. Tammy, and this is, I think, so critical right now, where everyone is their own inner guru. We are the Messiah, you know, people coming into their power. She brings up a good point that a lot of spiritual groups recreate the dysfunctional system.
Right.
So
that's how we know we're still in the age of Pisces.
Okay.
I mean, that's the short answer. You know, well, yeah, okay, we're still not in the age of Aquarius yet. Getting there.
Okay, so that's why that's still that power over, power under, all that weird. When do you think that will, you know, I know there's great changes in that, but, you know, not a lot. It's in the lower percentile, you know, probably 5%. When do you think that will shift?
Well, I mean, things are always...
a greater shift.
Well, yeah, I'm getting back to the initial premise of the show. It's like there's shifts happening all the time,
mm-hmm.
so that, you know, yes, there will be points of punctuation, but mostly it's almost more like the dawning of a day, if you know what I mean. It's not like all of a sudden it's dark and then all of a sudden it's day. Nature doesn't work that way. I mean, yes, we do see the appearance of the first buds of leaves, but it takes a while for those things to become branches and leaves. You know, so I think we're already in the transition zone. That's why I call this the Great Transition. This is the Great Transition.
Yeah.
We're moving through the heart of the winter of the 21st century. And there's nothing, I mean, the whole first 8 years of this century were a complete unmitigated disaster, where instead of putting the brakes on certain things, they slammed the accelerator down. And so now the ecosystem is totally out of balance. And, you know, we're eroding topsoil at maximum rate and nobody cares, you know. And I mean, these are just sort of inevitabilities that will yield whatever, which hopefully will bring forth human creativity, so that we can understand we need to cooperate with the Earth to regenerate her using knowledge of electricity, to revitalize Earth rather than just simply continue to leach it. So,
now, Robert,
you know,
with Saturn and Libra, are we moving more into that collaborative zone?
The problem is that it's opposed Uranus and Aries, which is an extraordinary individualistic willfulness. So in that sense, I think spiritually, the family of humanity continues to reach out to find connection. And I've heard that a lot lately from people of quite a few different generations, is that they really long for people of similar interests and like-mindedness to be able to come together and to be able to really commune and talk and interact and share. The good news is we have the internet. The bad news is it's still not face-to-face.
Yeah.
And while it helps us connect with others, it's also dependent on things like, you know, an electric supply, and hopefully we don't have power failures, and you know, just things like that. I'm not talking about the conspiracy everybody, you know, some people think of, you know, the government's trying to shut down the internet or something. That's foolishness. It's an economic engine. Nobody's going to shut down the internet. They're just going to try to control it so they can make more money on it. I mean, this whole thing is driven by money, not by, I mean, they don't care. It's all about the money. Look, you know, I've posted on the site, there's the individual level of stuff, but then there's the macro level. And we are in the winter of the 21st century. And we'll see the dawning of the spring right around 2020. And by 2025, we'll be in the spring of the 21st century. And we will see new life, new sprouts, new movement. We'll still be at the end of the end of the age of Pisces. And that's why I said I don't believe that we will be firmly, you know, out of Pisces. We'll be at the very beginning of the beginning of the beginning of Aquarius, you know, meaning the last degree of Aquarius. I believe in the third quarter of this century. And we're getting all those seed forms. Remember, Uranus awakened the Uranian energies when it was there back around 7 to 11 years ago. Now Neptune is dreaming that Aquarian energy into the collective field. When Pluto enters Aquarius down the road, that's when we're going to see the sprouting of the seed forms and the purification of all that cannot come forth during that Pluto and Aquarius era. So we're going to be dreaming, well, we are dreaming Aquarius into the collective field anyway, and all the kids that have been born while Neptune's been in Aquarius, they're all going to have Neptune conjunct Chiron in Aquarius. All of them born this year are all going to have Jupiter, Chiron, Neptune in their charts in Aquarius. Very, very strong Aquarian energies have been on the move for quite years now, you know, and it's not yet here, but we've now prepared the ground, if you will. We fertilized the garden, and when Pluto goes into Aquarius, we will plant the Plutonic seed forms, because Pluto rules seeds, rules the power of the seed to reproduce the form of the life, and we put those Plutonic seeds into the Aquarian ground that's been prepared at this time. And they will sprout and create the forms. See, and remember, too, you know, one of the signals about what's going on is that we are told that this will be the era of electromagnetic remembrance, mm-hmm. that the coming age is increasingly about remembering the power, the qualities, and the uses of electricity and magnetism. We've begun to see this because it began to start coming in around the late 18th century. A lot of the electromagnetic stuff got developed in the 19th century, and it was perfected in the 20th century. And it is now yielding literally miraculous technologies. I mean, laser beams that can give eyesight to the blind. You know, we're talking some major technological progress here. Mm-hmm. And once this for-profit medical system crumbles under its own excesses, we will return to a more sustainable way of maintaining health, restoring health, antidoting what needs antidoting so the body can naturally heal. You know, again, we got pretty far out, Michelle, in terms of the unsustainable call it divergences of the mind. And right now, a lot of stuff is just whirling around. You know, just a lot of things are being separated from other things, and people are being separated from each other. You know, some through death, some through estrangement, some through just parting. A lot of things are being flung out right now by this long-term opposition. And every once in a while, Pluto, when it's triggered by one of the other planets moving through early Aries, Cancer, Libra, or Capricorn, every time a planet moves through one of those things, it just hits that button and triggers this. It's almost like a jam on the wheel of fortune that just flings everything out there and puts the pointer in a certain direction. And that has happened recently, because just a few days ago we had Venus square Pluto. A few days before that, we had Mercury square Pluto again for the last time. And a few days before that, we had the Sun square Pluto. Next round of this is going to be coming up, you know, as the Mercury and Venus and the Sun all go through early Capricorn and 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 late Sagittarius, because it's still, you know, affecting Uranus. Yeah, well, I mean, it's still affecting Uranus, and so once it, for example, when things go through Sagittarius, Mercury in early December, Sun and Venus in mid to late December, they all square Uranus right before they square Saturn. Because even though Saturn and Uranus are going to get farther apart between now and December, it still works where one squares one and then it squares the other. So we sort of get this offset T-square. I described this phenomenon concerning the Gemini squares back this summer in June and July and August. And I wrote about that if anybody wants to know more about how these offset square patterns work. And then you can just apply it to whatever you're going to be experiencing in December, which should be pretty disruptive. The Mars retrograde during late December through January and February is going to give us a chance to retrace the steps of whatever these new Leo initiatives are that we're literally launching between now and the 20th of December. Then everything slows down. You know, and Mars, when Mars is retrograde, everything really does slow down. And I wrote about all the good things that are associated with it, but I've also, there's a real need to slow everything down and not be impatient and not be impulsive and not try to push the river. It's like a whole different pace of getting things done. So pretty much I would say,
if you find it using the higher mind, it's also, I feel like, using less of the ego personality and more of perhaps that transpersonal.
Well, that's the ideal. Yeah, that's the ideal. I mean, let's face it. Mars and Leo will produce some egomaniacal manifestations. I fully expect some of our politicians to get very pompous. Because Leo can be very pompous and overbearing when it's not been turned to that radiant love. You know, it is. Because it all has to do with how we are using that type of energy. You know, a low being would use it, you know, selfishly and jealously and controllingly. A high being would be loving and radiant and steady. You know, so really, again, it puts it back on us needing to practice the spiritual virtues, you know, the self-control of the four primary emotions and all the secondary ones. The ability to look at the four afflictions of the mind that generate all suffering, and to be able to apply the antidotes when we need to more easily without necessarily resistance. And the whole time.
Doing our practice. Ron, we have some people that are online. Now, I don't know what went into long, perhaps, questions. We can touch on stuff here. If people have more in-depth questions of Robert, you can go to his website, AquariusPapers.com. But let's got a couple. And if you do have a question or a comment, press 1 on your keypad. I see some people are doing that now, so I'm assuming there's a question or a comment or a hello or something. Hi, this is caller 4. It looks like a Skype call. You're on Awakenings. You're on the air live. Hello. This is okay. Well, if you have a question and I don't get to you, then put it in the chat or let me know that you're online, because we have quite a few people listening by Skype and you all have your hand up as if you have a question. So I don't know. You may not know which one is which. So anyway, if you want to call back or let me know via chat. Okay. And then 561-212, you're on Awakenings.
Hello. Hi.
Hello. Hi. Did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I just wanted to see if he can tell me anything about my chart for the time being.
Okay, well, the chart, in the remaining minutes to go into a whole chart, it'd probably be better if you contacted Robert via his website and set something up, because the chart is very, it's in a very expanded view. But and whom am I speaking with? What's your first name?
Leah.
Leah, okay. Did you have a
Yes,
you know, a more succinct question.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, I just wanted to see what he felt about relationships for me.
About relationships?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that we better put friendship first, or else we're in a relationship with someone who's not our friend.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that each must see that it is in their best interest to be in that relationship. And while there can be imbalances in terms of give and take, we have to see that we strengthen each other and we brighten each other. And that in any relationship, we have to see that we are giving out more light, and that they're giving out more light, and that there shouldn't be this, I would almost call it the imbalance of negotiations. Because though in all relationships we have some negotiations we have to do, by the same token, our friendships are ruled by Aquarius. Every sign externalizes through its opposite, which is Leo. If we can't be ourselves, if we can't be loving, if we can't be natural, if we can't be playful, then they're probably not our friends. And we're probably in the wrong group. And that's okay. Then it's just time to go find friends with whom you can play and you can be yourself. And once you base all relationships on cultivating the friendship, then, you know, if the romance comes, fine. Just make sure it wouldn't mess up the friendship, okay? and otherwise, you got a bunch of friends.
Mm-hmm.
Good
okay.
point.
Thank you.
Great, Leah. Thank you for listening, and thank you for calling in. Okay. Wonderful. Yeah, and if anyone has further questions, you can reach Robert at AquariusPapers.com. Here we try again. Hi, you're on the air. You're on Awakenings.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Damien.
Hi, Damien.
Oh, well, hello.
Hi, yeah, actually, I post on Robert's message board. Good to talk to you, Robert.
I had a great
question. I'm a Capricorn, Gemini Moon, Gemini Rising, and I actually have Saturn in Libra. My Saturn return is coming up in October 2011, and so right now I'm kind of in a phase where I've had another astrologer say, well, you should go back to school, but I feel like it's time to, like, start creating art and just go like that. I was wondering what you thought about that real quick.
Well, Damien, it is so glad to get to hear your voice. You've been
a regular visitor
to the site for a long time. You got a good mind, and you say good things, and you ask good questions. So, and I appreciate that you brought this up, because everybody goes through the Saturn return between 27 and 30.
Mm-hmm.
We go through it again later on in our upper 50s, and in fact, I'm having my exact Saturn return over the last week, and it's really spun me around.
Yeah.
Even though it's not like it just starts at a certain point, though, because once Saturn enters Libra, even the minute it enters one Libra,
yeah,
you will begin to feel your Saturn return.
Yeah, I feel
and
now.
What the?
I mean, no,
yeah,
know.
Yeah, you will. You will, absolutely.
Yeah.
The first Saturn return is about you figuring out what you can live with and what you can't live with, and breaking free of all of those family and culture and society defined expectations and ideals and shoulds and rules. And, you know, well, gosh, if you're going to be a good person, then you have to go do that sort of thing.
Right.
And at the Saturn return, you say, look, I've already been there. I've done that. I took the ride. I don't want to take that ride anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to do it with those people anymore.
Right.
I need to find something that's going to make my life a long-term adventure in steering my own ship toward the direction I want.
Exactly.
That's the key to the Saturn return, is to be able – almost like just to cut loose from whatever it was, because look, what's over is over, and you can't hold on to it anyway.
Yeah.
And that's what I've found with the Saturn return, is why bother? Mm-hmm. And so it becomes one of those things where if you can't hold on to it, if it's crashing, if it's not working anymore. Whatever is that big reset that occurs, and it's usually several of them.
Yeah.
You know, it serves to cut you loose from the inertia of all the stuff in your teens and 20s that you always sort of believed you had to do.
Yeah.
You know? And then you say, I'm not going to do that anymore.
Right.
And the trick, I think, is to try to resolve not to react to those ghosts and echoes and to learn what you can from what ended. You know, distill the wisdom of your experience from it, as per Saturn.
Right.
But use that in a way that you at least are exploring possibilities on your terms.
Okay,
this is really about you claiming the right to steer your ship in the direction, not just that you want to, but that you know calls you as a part of your purpose.
Right.
Okay. And it may not be defined. I mean, we don't often understand what our true purpose is until we hit our 50s.
Right.
And we've got all that stuff stripped away from our adult life that was an illusion. You know,
yeah.
Now you're stripping away all the childhood and young adult stuff.
Yeah.
You know, 29 years from now, you'll be stripping away all the adult illusions and suppositions and, you know, all the stuff that seemed like a good idea at the time that didn't work out so well.
Okay.
Good to talk to you, Damien.
Yeah, good to talk to you, too. See you on the site. Thank you.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, good talk to you too. See you on the site. Thank you.
Michelle?
Hello? Hello?
Did I kill it?
I don't know. Are you still on?
Yeah, this is Damien still. I'm still on the phone. I don't know where Michelle went, but.
Anyway, I guess what I can talk about, since I'm looking at the chat feed, I can't hear Michelle at all. I'm looking at the chat feed, and all that I can hear is you, Damien.
Okay, that's weird.
So I guess, you know, the thing is that, just to finish up the concept, is that we also have a lunar return. And I wrote about
just passed for me, yeah.
And that's when our progressed moon goes and conjuncts the natal moon. It happens to everybody at 27 and again at 55.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the progressed lunar return is where we figure out what we care about and what we don't care about. And that sets the feeling mood for the decisions we make at the Saturn return.
Okay.
So if you go back to your lunar return at 27,
mm-hmm.
you're going to figure out that you shifted what you cared about. That all of a sudden you didn't care about certain things and people anymore, and you began to care about other things.
Yeah, I'm 27 now, so it's happened all in the past year, so definitely.
Exactly, and now you're facing two choices of disciplines, of figuring out what you are responsible for, what you're not responsible for, and you're going to be able to go and live your life on your own terms, freed of all the old emotional stuff, all of the reactive stuff,
mm-hmm.
all of the insecurity stuff. You don't even have to deal with that anymore.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, we go through the 28, 29, 30, we come out of it on the other side with a whole new sense of ourself. And then we do our 30s and our 40s until the 49, when we turn 49, then the old way is over, and we move into a transition from 49 to 56 where we figure out what's true and what's not.
Yeah.
And the first half of our 50s, that's especially in our face.
Mm-hmm.
Then at 55...
Yeah.
Second lunar return, one more time, we figure out what we care about, what we need, what we don't need.
because my mom.
Say what?
Oh, sorry. Is Michelle back?
Yeah.
Okay. Hello?
Yeah. What's up?
Oh, yeah. I was just saying that my my mom, she has Saturn in Libra, not conjunct mine, but hers is also in Libra, and she's going through her second Saturn return, and I'm going through my first, and I'm living at home right now, so it's kind of a weird situation about, like, how we're both doing that work at different, you know, points of our life.
Well, I found in my practice of doing, you know, 10,000 charts over the years that very often parents and children, at least one of the children, will have the exact same Saturn as the parent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true in my own family. My father's Saturn is the exact Saturn as my sister's in terms of sign because, you know, again, the Saturn return often corresponds with new responsibilities. You know, it's like you leave something, you accept something, somebody comes into your life, somebody leaves your life. It's very natural for parents and children to have similar Saturns.
Yeah.
And in some respects, you know, you represent her Saturn, and she represents your Saturn.
A lot of dharma in our relationship.
And so, yeah, we'll see. But once you both come into realizing, remember, Saturn's duality is dominion and slavery.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Michelle's calling in.
Okay,
I have to take
it. Thank you so much, Robert.
Bye.
Hello. Robert, can you hear me? Are you still in the phone? I see you connected in, but I guess, do I have sound? I know. Okay, wait, hang up and I can hear you on the other line. Robert, I don't know why I'm not hearing again. Well, hi, everybody. I'm back. Robert is a seasoned pro, and you got to hear more insight from him. That was so strange. I was locked out. So, and now I'm not hearing him. Anyway, we are in our last remaining minutes. I want to let everyone know, remind everyone, we've been on air with astrologer, futurist, and metaphysician Robert Wilkinson, and you can reach him at AquariusPapers.com. Amazing, amazing blog with a lot of info. And I want to thank all of you listener participants for joining us on Awakenings. You are what makes Awakenings what it is. It's each and every one of you that meets here, you know, weekly or via the archives or Cosmic Dimensions or some of the other podcast stations that you've been listening. It's you. It's your energy, your insight, your input. It's all your emails, all your phone calls, all your texts, all your tweets. It's really you really holding this sacred space. So I want to thank all of you for being present, and I really, really want to thank Robert for flowing with this. I don't know what happened at the end. It got disconnected, and I couldn't call back in. It was saying that I was already called in, and so anyway, it was all fine, all good. You just got to hear more of Robert. So again, to contact Robert Wilkinson, the website is AquariusPapers.com. And if you'd like to join the email list, that's awakeningsradio@gmail.com. On Facebook, it's Awakenings Radio, Twitter, Awakenings Tweet, and, of course, selfandlight.com, as always. So stay connected. Love hearing from all of you. And, again, thank you, Robert Wilkinson, so much. You rock. It was absolutely an amazing dialogue with you. And, again, until next time, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and keep awake.